Welcome to this online interview by Project Cargo Weekly. Our special guest of honor today is Mr. Abhijit Pratap Nair. He is the CEO of the FEI Group based in Mumbai, India. First and foremost, Abhijit, very welcome to this interview.
Thank you very much for having me.
Anytime. I can say that Mumbai is one of my favorite places, not to mention the food and the nice people, including you.
Thank you.
Abhijit. Yeah, great to have
you're
you.
In the land of welcoming.
Yes, you are definitely. Abhijit, start by telling our viewers a little bit about the history of the FEI Group. When did you start? What's your current status in India? Where are you located? A little bit of background.
Yeah, so FEI was started off as Freight Express International, which is also the member of the CLC network. Mm-hmm. We started off in 1989, and this company was started by my father, Pratap Nair, after having worked for four big companies in India. He started off with Air Freight and then went on to be working with first Indian employee of Kuehne + Nagel and last as panel cleaner. And then he started off with Freight Express International. Today, we are spread across 25 cities in India. We cover most of the port cities and airports and the ICDs. Mm-hmm. And we have also grown into Mauritius, Sri Lanka, Bangladesh, and Nepal.
Mm-hmm. That's our presence. Okay. What is your roughly your headcount at the moment in the FEI group?
So we are between 250 and 270 people as of today.
Okay.
I say between because we also have a lot of floating freshers that have just joined us on the 1st of February. So adding them, we should be close to 270.
Okay. Interesting. And of course, India being a huge market, I mean, there's a lot of talk now that India soon will overtake, if not already, China in the in population. Yes, I think you have. Tell me about the logistics market in India. It used to be always very, let's say, complicated to get things moved inland. But I believe there's a huge investment now in your infrastructure in India. That's correct?
Yes, it is. So in the last 10 years or so, mm-hmm. we have been growing rapidly, wherein we always realized that we had to do a lot more to be a force to reckon in the world. But in the last 10 years, I think the newer generation has put that into effect.
Yeah.
So we are, the basic fact of all this is that we've got the highest percentage of people under the age of 30 in the world. So we are the number one on that. Now that brings us to the topic that when people are of that age group who are into the working, they need newer infrastructure, they need development.
Yeah.
So where we used to construct about 20 kilometers of road a day, our present government is aiming to touch 100 kilometers of highways a day. Now, when you make highways, this also impacts the logistics.
Yeah.
And because India is a big country, logistics is a very, very core necessity for the country.
Yeah.
There was a time back in the 90s and the 2000s where it was cheaper for us to bring apples from New Zealand rather than bringing it up north in Kashmir. It was cheaper.
Yes,
and it was more easier.
Yeah, exactly, Abhijit. That was one of the things.
Now,
it sounds.
So now the things have changed. Now,
mm-hmm. I see.
Now it's moving ahead. Now we have started to, because of the better roads, because of the better infrastructure, because of the better connections, and because we've become this one nation now that we are talking about, internal logistics has grown. And this year, our Prime Minister had also come up with something known as the National Logistics Policy, mm-hmm. which talks about warehousing, storage, infrastructure between the inland container depots and the main port. This all to propagate exports.
Okay. So that example that you mentioned about bringing apples in from New Zealand instead of from your own country, that really put it on the spot. I mean, then people can understand that something needs to be done. And I think India, with a quick development, you also are developing your ports, cranes, all kinds of capacities. Which ports in India would you say are the main ones for, if we say talk about project cargo, which ports would you say are the main or the most modern ones nowadays?
So as of now, there are just three of them that are still main on the project front.
Okay.
Mumbai, Ennore, and Mundra to a certain extent.
Okay.
So these are the three main ports that all the Ro-Ro carriers, the big bulk carriers, everyone concentrate and focus on carrying,
right,
on coming.
Okay.
But so basically the fact is Mumbai caters to a lot of the western region and the north. Mundra is still developing as a port for the project carriers because they have large amounts of space, which is not something that Mumbai has. And Ennore is the sister city for Chennai. So there is a big port being developed there. So Chennai is mostly the containerized port and Ennore is the project port.
Okay, interesting. So for example, if I'm a customer and I have a project that needs to go into, let's say, Nepal via India, what would be the entry port in
so your country? It depends also on the kind of equipment that we're talking about.
Okay.
If it's not very odd dimension and if it's manageable, Kolkata is the closest port.
Okay.
That is the closest port. So for all the containers that we handle right now, majority of 90% of the business that goes into Nepal is via Kolkata, the seaport.
Okay. Clear. And you as FEI Cargo, you are a company that can arrange this all the way from arrival to Nepal.
Yes.
Okay.
This is something we're doing on a daily basis.
Right.
This is something that we're working on. We have an office in Kolkata and we have our office in Nepal, both working on this on a daily basis.
Okay. And can you also tell a little to our viewers a little bit about customs clearance in India? Because that's, at least in the past, I suppose, it was also kind of a headache. Is it more standardized now? How does it work in India generally regarding that?
Back in the days, the customs rules used to change once in 5 years or once in a year.
Right.
Again, even on customs laws and policies, we are moving on a rapid pace right now, where there's a change almost every week.
Okay.
So we are going forward towards the newer style or the developed country style of working,
mm-hmm.
wherein it's almost everything is online. And today, the requirement of the number of people at the port and at the airport is reducing. It's still required for examination. We've still not reached the levels of automation that the other countries are, some of the developed nations are, but we are getting.
You're getting there.
We have very conveniently is we have a very good EDI system that is that takes in all the documentation. So today, nobody needs to move around with physical papers around. It's all automated. It's all on the system. But still, we have examination, which is still manualized. So there is people and almost all the containers do get examined, whether it's on an import or on an export.
Okay.
And we've still not got to the system of red, green, and orange, like in Europe. Mm. We're still here where we follow a risk management system where close to 20% of the containers still get examined 100%.
Got it. And of course, one question that comes to mind, I mean, having visited Mumbai myself and also your office, I couldn't help but noticing thousands of forwarders, not only in Mumbai, but many ports in India. How would you say that FEI Cargo is a specialist and why? What is your strength in your own words? What are you good at?
I mean, for me, we have as a conscious effort, we do not generalize ourselves with the thousands of forwarders that are mushrooming every day.
Mm.
What we talk about is that we offer a great service,
yeah,
great communication, and market friendly prices.
Yeah,
because we are in the same business like many others, but what differentiates us is the knowledge levels in our staff, and the way we communicate.
Yeah,
that's our priority for all of us.
Yeah.
Because our business, as per us, our business is all about communication. We use the same vessels, we use the same aircrafts, we all deal with the same customs. It's just that how efficiently we can communicate and get the work done.
Mm. Correct.
And we are all very hungry for what we do, and we're very determined with what we do. So
I can tell our viewers here personally that I know you, your company, and also your father since many years. You really do what you say and say what you do. So I can certainly recommend you to anyone listening here, and you're also a strong member of the networks that I'm chairing. So I can vouch for that. How do you see the situation with the ship owners? You know, there's no secret that some of the owners now, they want to be forwarders. They believe that they can do everything much better than the forwarder. What's your opinion on that?
I think it's a mistake they're doing, but they will learn it. We've all, I mean, that's something that my parents have taught me, that when somebody makes a mistake, allow them to make it so that they learn from it.
Yeah,
that's how I have learned it. That's how everyone else will learn it.
Oh, well, I think I should learn from your father. So far, I've been married 3 times, but I I didn't used to learn in the beginning, but I'm doing it now, finally.
Correct. So, I mean, everyone will. They will eventually, because it's everyone's line of business. I mean, we run our own companies. You run your own company. They run their own companies.
Yes.
It's somebody sitting there who says that, you know, I think we're smarter than the rest. So
Yeah.
Now, but we will let them get into it.
So you can also, you have some ship owners also in India that you try to avoid, I take it, right?
Yes. We do. I mean, we have our friendly set of ship owners that we like to use.
Yeah.
They support us, and until now, we have never had an issue with them. And they're not the ones who are getting into our side of the business.
No.
So we're fine with that.
Well, that's good to hear. How do you see, of course, politics is something very boring to discuss, but I just want to touch on one thing. How is the current relationship between India and Pakistan and India and Bangladesh, your two neighboring countries, from a business perspective?
So Bangladesh is one of our strongest trading partners.
Okay.
They depend on us a lot. So precisely the offices that we have also is Sri Lanka, Bangladesh, and Nepal. These are the strongest partners that we have. They depend on us, and we like that, and we support them in every way we can in terms of trade. So almost everything that is that needs to be imported comes through India. We are the first choice for them.
Okay.
Apart from that, yes, then they go to the world as well. They buy a lot from the other countries, but India is, we've got some friendly agreements. So even with the IMF and other people, India stands guarantee for these people, for these countries.
Okay.
Having said that, they also support us a lot. So it's two ways.
Right.
India and Pakistan is a long drawn subject. I mean,
yeah.
Still trade is almost zero.
Okay.
Because it's looked at in a very negative way if you do some sort of trade. What we do is medicines, which is very less. And also some basic essentials that they need that we get from the WTO or, you know, those sort of organizations. Let's say you need to supply to them, and that's what we do. But as a trading partner, I think Pakistan is somebody that no one in the country works with.
Right. And how about India and China? Is there more, let's say, business cooperation between the two giants at the moment?
Yes. I mean, India depends on China a lot. 28% of India's imports is Chinese.
Okay.
Just because of the prices and their quality. So India is working on this whole concept known as Make in India for the last 4 years, wherein we are trying to develop in-house, indigenize the products that are coming from China.
Mm-hmm.
There's a little bit of a consciousness that is between by Indian suppliers that they have to find an alternative, because during COVID, it became really troublesome for everybody. So that's there. But like the whole world, there's the sentiment that we should start manufacturing ourselves. And we have also become competitors to Chinese with various products.
Yeah.
So that also adds to it.
Of course. No, but it makes sense. I mean, the whole corona situation also showed how depending many countries, even in Europe, have become on China, that it's dangerous to have all your eggs in the same basket, for sure. So it's good to hear that you're doing more on that score.
Yeah, it's a conscious effort taken by a lot. And there are a lot of Chinese companies who are also setting up in India for the same reason. Because they know that after China, they should have a base here so that it's easier for them to also take care of the world.
Yeah,
India is a 1.5 billion population, with the largest being the middle class. So we are a purchasing power ourselves.
Oh, yeah.
They can take care of the domestic market as well as the international market by being in India.
Yeah. And I've noticed also more and more Indians are all over the world. I mean, East Africa, South Africa, lots of trading going on where in a way it comes from the roots in India. But people you have a sizable population outside your country too, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's the first thing that happened. People that were well-to-do, that were educated, that were learning, that were intelligent, all moved to the other parts of the world.
Right.
What has done, there was a lot of brain drain that happened back in the 60s until the early 2000s.
Right.
But that's stopped now. A lot of people realize that India is a bigger market to be in.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a sizable population. I mean, whichever country you go, you will find a sizable Indian population. And
that's evident. So I don't have to fly to Mumbai to get a good curry.
Sorry, no. I think you can get one.
Yeah, for sure. That's good, Abhijit. But listen, no, I think FEI Cargo, as a proud member of CLC and also knowing you for several years, you certainly have a good and strong company and under good management. And how do you see the year of one of the final questions here, the year 2023, as we started now here in February? Do you see the year good coming out of Corona? Are you positive in your outlook?
Yes, we are positive in our outlook because the Middle East and South America, Africa are doing really well.
Yeah.
Really growing as markets. And so we have a good opportunity. The only trouble that we see in our projections is Europe. And it depends on how the whole war situation goes there, because we have definitely seen that the purchasing in Europe has reduced.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which is very evident in terms of everyone sees that.
Yeah.
So that's the only factor for us, which is a slight low. But then we are also working hard to replace the European market with the other markets so that we don't, as a company, face any downfall.
Right. Right. No, it's well, sitting here in Europe myself and traveling a bit around in the continent here, you're right. Prices are sky high at the moment. And you have, for example, in the UK, you have people who even they work 20 hours a day, almost. They still the salaries are low and their purchasing power is low. So generally, people are holding on to their funds at the moment in many places. Yeah, yeah, that's right. But
costs are getting incredibly high, which is causing all this.
Yeah, yeah. No, I can say here in Sweden, I just as an example, I had my daughter's passport renewed. It cost me almost $200 just to renew a passport. I mean, small things like this, you add it all up and it becomes to a lot of fun. Plus, we have an inflation of about 12% at the moment. So,
which is better than 150% and 30%.
Yeah, of course. We can always find somebody worse, you know.
I mean, these numbers are all from Europe, from inside Europe.
Yes, yes. But, wow. It is tough. Yeah, Let's see. At least one thing we can be happy with now is that the ship owner's nose in the sky has been reduced a little bit now because the freight rates are getting back to normal. Do you see that as well in India? They're more hungry again?
It crashed. Like.
So.
Yeah, you feel bad. I mean, what you used to do earlier, now it's not that much worth effort.
Exactly.
But having said that, I mean, I think it's good for the trade because that cost trade wouldn't have succeeded a lot.
No.
We could evidently see that a lot of buyer-seller engagements had changed. People were looking at buying from closer. The whole advent of globalization had changed a little bit.
Yeah.
So that was giving an impact, but now with the freight prices back to almost what it was pre-COVID, things have got better. People are getting new orders and things are moving on, which is good for us as a company for sure, because when people move stuff, that's when we come into business.
Exactly. But they really earned so much money in the last couple of years. They don't know what to do with all this. So let's hope they become less arrogant, some of them. That's what you all hope for. I want to say, Abhijit, many, many thanks to you for an excellent interview. And as I said, praised both you and your father and your company before. You know what you're doing. And I want to say formally, many thanks for joining.
Thank you for having me. It was a pleasure speaking to you.
Likewise. And to all our listeners, viewers, and readers from around the world, this was yet another great interview by Project Cargo Weekly. Our special guest of honor today has been the CEO of the FEI Group based in Mumbai, India, Mr. Abhijit Pratap Nair. And I can certainly recommend that you test them out whenever you have something to do in and around India. So stay tuned for more interviews in the near future. Thank you.